Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to come into your home or into your automobile as you are listening to this broadcast. Let me remind you that you are an integral part of this broadcast. Let's Face the Issues is designed around the question and answer format, and you, our listener, would have the privilege to call in, ask your questions, make your comments, join in the dialogue and the discussion at any time during the course of this broadcast. I'll open with a brief monologue, and then the lines are open, ready to entertain your question, your comment. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We look forward to the dialogue and discussion today with you. We are in the Christmas season, and as such, I believe it is vital, imperative, that we ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? I know most of you say, well, I know about Jesus. I know I've heard about Jesus since I grew up as a child. I've heard songs. I've heard messages. I've heard things said about Jesus. But do you really know who Jesus Christ is? That's the essence of our dialogue and discussion today. Who is Jesus Christ? And ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, as he's speaking to his disciples, he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And then further, he makes the declaratory statement in John 17:17, where Jesus says, thy word is truth. It is the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to direct our lives and our understanding. It's the truth of the word of God that we ought to focus on and asking the question, who is Jesus? Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Let me just read you a little introductory thought from a message that I have done for many, many years on the subject. He grew up as a carpenter's son. He never went to college. He never got married. He never commanded an army. He never received the applause of man. He never owned a home. He never committed sin. He died as a criminal at the age of 33. He changed the human calendar forever. He rose again after the third day. He ascended back into heaven, and he's coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ. But who is Jesus? What does the Bible say about it? We're going to talk about that in a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the scripture, we're looking at the truth book. What does the Bible say? It was George Orwell, the secularist back many years ago, that made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We live in that era today where truth is rejected, truth is not embraced, truth is not sought for, truth is something that is demonstrably being against by the society in which we're living in. They look at it as something that we ought not to be confronted with. We need to confront others with truth. In fact, it goes back to the statement that I've used so many years now. It is by Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, that says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's exactly what we need to make our volitional decision that we're going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Tam. Tools for Tam is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Tam carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Tam carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Tam has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about professional backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the professional lawn care and the homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, ladies and gentlemen, that you can find that relatively easy. The intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, there's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24-7. Find that flag and flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a serious, solemn, holy season that we're entering into that's called Christmas. Christmas. Many look at Christmas just as a time to be off from work. Many look at Christmas as an opportunity to be out of school. Many see Christmas as simply a day of rambling around with nothing to do. Many look at Christmas as a time to eat too much and to be gluttony and or to be in a drunken bash, et cetera, et cetera. But what is Christmas? It's the celebration of the Christ child, the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. And ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today Pastor Glenn Davis from up in Folkestone, Georgia.
Amen.
And Pastor
Amen.
Davis and I are going to talk about who is Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor,
praise
welcome
God.
To the pulpit today, or the microphone, I should say, as we talk about Jesus.
Amen. It's such a privilege, Dr. Youngblood, again, to be here on today. I thank God for you and for everything that you are doing here through the radio station and the ministry as well.
Amen.
And the school. We are really blessed.
Amen.
You know, to have an individual like you that has such a heart, you know, for the ministry and for the work of God. And I want to thank God, amen, for my bride of 35 years.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for you. I love you on this morning. Amen. All my family and friends that are listening all the way from South Florida. Amen. Brother Bruce, good morning to you. Amen. And everybody down there and as far away to the north as Long Island, New York. Amen. If you hear my voice this morning, good morning.
Amen.
Amen. And it's truly a privilege and a blessing. Amen, that you are listening in on today.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope and pray that we can give you something that will help you to understand more about this man called Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because if you are a Christian on today, amen, you got to know and understand first that you got to believe that God is or he exists.
That's right.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Don't let nothing stand in your way on today of finding out about this great man called Jesus Christ.
Amen. And it's always my prayer, Pastor, that something be said that if nothing else could be, as I call them, golden nuggets.
Amen.
That an individual perhaps had not heard before, had not seen before, had not been revealed to them before, that becomes a golden nugget to be cherished and to be encouragement and an inspiration to them. But ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to be very, very careful in the society in which we're living in today when we talk about Jesus. I think it's a subject that we need to recognize that there's so many different quote, authoritative opinions on who Jesus Christ is. Be careful when somebody says that they believe in Jesus. Keep in mind the Mormon doctrine, Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. In the Islamic doctrine, they claim to believe that Jesus is real. In fact, in the Book of Mormons, the Quran, Jesus is mentioned 25 times. 25 times. You would think, and the average Muslim, if you talk with them, if they would enter into the dialogue and discussion with you on it, they'd say, yes, we believe in Jesus. In fact, they many times, unknowingly, I think they're absolutely brainwashed with some things. They'll say that, you know, we talk about Jesus more in the Quran than you do in your Bible. And they brag about believing in Jesus. But
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Amen.
That is simply a laughable statement. It is a absolute dreadful statement. It is an untrue, false, phony, fallacious statement because, ladies and gentlemen, in the Quran, they literally laugh when you talk about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. They say, and I quote, Allah did not have a wife. How could he have a son? End quote. In fact, in the Quran, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus is mentioned 25 times, yet they totally, fully, 100% reject the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Quran and in Islamic thinking, Jesus Christ is not God.
Amen.
In fact, let me read to you from the Quran some verses or surahs. They're called surahs, S-U-R-A or S-U-R-A-H. Either way is correct pronunciation. Just as you can spell the Quran with a K or with a C, both are absolutely correct down through the cardinals of time. But in this text that I'm looking at, in fact, it is my book called Is Islam Tolerant? And on page 84, I deal with the subject Islam rejects Jesus' sonship as being God. The Quran denies that Allah begets or takes to himself offsprings in several places in the Quran. Let me just read you three of the surahs, ladies and gentlemen. I'm wanting to dwell on this for just a moment in part of my monologue to point out to the fact that multitudes of people today that's in society will tell you that they believe in Jesus. Is it the Jesus Christ of the Bible? Is it God's Son? Is it the only begotten, uniquely born one, the virgin-born Son of God? Is it God come in the flesh? Is he the Jesus that people believe in today as you talk with them? Is that Jesus 100% God and 100% man, yet he is absolutely the God-man? Surah 112, verse 1, 2, and 3, say, O Muhammad, he is Allah, the one, the self-sufficient master who all creatures need to. Neither he eats nor drinks. He begets nor was begotten. Surah 6, 101. He is the originator of the heaven and the earth. Speaking of Allah, how can he have children when he has no wife? He created all things, and he is the all-knower of everything. Surah 72, 3. And he exalted by the majesty of the Lord, has taken neither a wife nor a son or offspring of any children, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, just those three surahs alone out of the entire Quran would absolutely destroy any fabricated statement by any Muslim that they serve Jesus and that know Jesus as we do. The same Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible speaks of is not the Jesus that is spoken of in the Quran. Islam is not the only one, though, ladies and gentlemen. Islam is not the only cult or religion or false religion or Christian cult that claims to believe in Jesus Christ. Be very careful when somebody says that I believe in Jesus. The word believe is the word in the Greek text pistuo, means to having faith, trust, confidence that you placed your hope and everything in the fact that Jesus Christ is who he says he is.
Amen. Amen.
During the course of this broadcast today, Pastor, we're going to talk about some of the verses and what Jesus says. There are a lot of folks, ladies and gentlemen, that say that Jesus, in fact, pastors in the pulpit, I've heard some say that Jesus Christ never claimed to be God. That's simply untrue. That's simply not true. And we need to know who Jesus Christ is. We need to know him personally, or it's an impossibility to appropriately, properly celebrate this holy season called Christmas. It is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of the God-man, 100% God and 100% Jesus, 100%
Amen.
Man
Amen.
Coming into the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, who is Jesus Christ? Jesus either is Allah or he's a liar. One man wrote a number of years ago, and I've quoted him a number of times, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. And I believe that he's Lord. The word Lord means owner, master, controller. And according to the word of God in Matthew 16:16, when the question was asked, who do men say that I am? Simon Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
Pastor Davis, I believe that settles it right there.
I believe
if we
that's
didn't go any further today, that settles it.
Amen. Amen.
Thou art
that's
the
it.
Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And that's the foundation that the church, the Christian church, is built on.
Amen.
Jesus went on to say that on Peter, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to build my church on what you've just said. Now, there's a lot of people that come up with this. Petro means a little small pebble, and Petros means a rock, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what the scripture said at all, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is saying, and upon this foundation, that is the foundation of the declaration of who Jesus is, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it.
Amen.
And that's exactly what we have today, ladies and gentlemen, in the true Christian church, in the Christian church as we know it, biblically speaking, Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
Come in the flesh. Died on Calvary's cross, shed his rich red royal blood for whosoever will may come. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, in the Quran, you know, is read from the back to the front. And in the last 25 pages of the Quran, the Islamics literally make fun of, jeer at, laugh at the Christian community and the Bible and the Word of God. Here's what they say, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at the Quran, the latter portion of it. There's 25 pages. It laughs at. This is the Noble Quran, which is the only Quran that is viewed by the Islamic scholars as being valuable and viable. It has all of the blue seals from the University of Medina in the back of it, signed off, being authorized as the authorized version, as we look at the King James as being the authorized version, the Noble Quran is what they view, the Islamics view, as the authorized version of the Quran. Here's a section in that portion. Finally, notice, finally, our proofs on the fabrication of the story of the cross. They reject the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They laugh at and mock at it. For example, number one, they say the Bible testifies to the fact that Jesus was known among the Jews. He used to preach and deliver sermons in the temple of Solomon in Jerusalem. It was therefore unnecessary. This is written by the Islamic scholars. Therefore, it was unnecessary to hire a Jew and give him 30 pieces of silver to direct them to find Jesus, as is related in Matthew's gospel. Further, he says, the clearest proof, which alone is sufficient to discredit the story of the cross, is when the Jews passed the sentence of death against Jesus and intended to get the approval of the governor, Pontius Pilate. And then they give the scripture in Matthew 27, verses 11 through 14. And then they say to that about that verse, the Christians will interpret the above verse to mean that Jesus wanted to die on the cross for the redemption of mankind and for the forgiveness of their sins. If so, then why did he ask to turn away that cup from him? Why did he cry out while on the cross, as they assume, speaking of Christians, O Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? How could he have remained silent when the truth was being challenged? He was known for his soul-inspiring sermons, challenging learned Jewish rabbis. No sane person can believe in this. If the story of the cross is disproved, then the very foundation of which is called Christianity and what Christianity is based on will be totally demolished.
My, my.
And it goes on in Surah, in the verses in Surah 157, 158. It says, and because of their saying and boast, we killed Messiah Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not. This is the Islamic stand now on the crucifixion of Christ, because I'm wanting you to understand, when somebody says, yes, I believe Jesus, and the Muslims will tell you, yes, I believe in Jesus, our Quran talks about Jesus, etc., they go on to say that he was not killed, he was not the Messiah. They killed him not, nor crucified him, but it appeared so to them. The resemblance of Jesus was put over another man, and they killed that other man. And those who differed therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge that they follow nothing but conjecture, for surely they killed him not. That is Jesus, the son of Mary. But Allah raised him up. That is Jesus. Now, Allah, if they didn't kill Jesus on the cross, Pastor Davis and I were talking about it just a moment ago, who then was crucified? One that looked like Jesus was crucified.
Amen.
And Allah raised him up. And they go further to say, with his body and soul unto himself in the heavens. And Allah is ever powerful and all wise, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that suffices for us to understand that in the Islamic faith, in the Islamic false religion, they do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And yet, multitudes today across the world, not just with the Islamics, but with multitudes of others, they have a different Jesus. I'm looking in, I have in my hand a folder that compares 20 religions and cults to biblical Christianity. It's called Christianity, Cults, and Religions. It is published by Rose Publishing. At one time, we had these in our campus bookstore. Don't know if we still have them available or not. But it talks about biblical Christianity. It says, who is Jesus? And it talks about who we believe biblically. And then in this lineup, talks to Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is not God. Before he lived on earth, he was Michael, the archangel. Jehovah made this universe through him. Mormonism, Jesus is a separate God from the Father, Elohim. Was created as a spirit child from the father and mother in heaven, and the elder brother, Lucifer. Seventh-day Adventists say, Ellen White says, God the Father exalted Jesus to be his son, thus provoking Lucifer's jealousy and a war in heaven. Jesus is just only a good example to prove our lives can be sincerely lived, etc. Unification Church, Jesus was a perfect man, but he's not God. Christian Science says, Jesus was not Christ, but a man who displayed godly ideals. A Unity School of Christianity says, Jesus was a man, not Christ. Instead, he was a man who had Christ consciousness, etc., etc. And it goes through with 20 of the cults and cult religions, Christian cults, ladies and gentlemen. They call that because they claim to believe in the Bible. But the first and foremost thing that we want you to understand today is that the Jesus that multitudes talk about is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And when we celebrate Christmas, Pastor Davis, we need to understand who Jesus is.
Amen.
I believe that is absolutely fundamental, rudimentary, elementally necessary if we're going to properly celebrate Christmas.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, today, if you're lost, you've not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. It's an impossibility to properly, appropriately, with the fullness of this season, to recognize and to rejoice in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That can only happen if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But I go back, Pastor, to Simon Peter's statement, Matthew 16:16, where Simon Peter had been asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" Jesus speaking. And Simon Peter said what others had said, etc. He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And that's the question, ladies and gentlemen, for you today. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is?
Amen.
Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, dialogue, and discussion. Perhaps you've got questions today. Perhaps you've been taught otherwise. Things you're hearing totally different from what you've been taught. Perhaps you've got serious questions about how to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Perhaps you'd like to ask a question today. You don't have to say who you are, your name, address, and phone number, but we'd love to have you call in and love to have you ask your question. That's the purpose of this broadcast each and every day.
Amen.
Pastors, we look at the declaration that Simon Peter made, and we understand that based on the Scripture, Jesus Christ is Creator. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You ask, who is the one that created the heavens and the earth? Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18 is the commentary on Genesis 1, 1 and 2.
Amen.
Because it says that Jesus Christ created everything that's created in the heavens, upon the earth, and under the earth, everything that is seen and everything that is unseen. Jesus Christ created it all.
Amen.
So he is the creator, he is the controller, and he is the sustainer of this entire universe and all that's in it.
Amen.
I believe we have Tom on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, you're talking about my favorite subject today, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. That's wonderful.
Amen.
Yeah, anybody that's not thinking, the reason he was killed, remember what the Jewish priest said? Blasphemy. That Jesus said he was God. He's the only one that's ever claimed to be God. Muhammad didn't. Buddha didn't, but Jesus did say he was God. But what I called about is you've been talking lately, last couple of days, about abortion. And it makes me think, you know, that the government says that a woman's body is hers, that she can do with it what she wants to do. And if she doesn't want to carry a fetus for 9 months, that is her business. It's her body. But when it comes to the COVID jab, her body belongs to the government, really. And she's got to take the jab. Dr. Youngblood, that's being two-faced. That's they have to take one position or the other, but that's the government. And it really makes me think when Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Think about what I'm about to say. Aren't you glad that his kingdom is not of this world? Because it would be the same bunch of lies and political polls that our government is. It would be the truth only when it's convenient. But Jesus, his heaven is from the heavens. His kingdom is from the heavens. So I'm glad that we serve a Savior that's not of this world.
Amen. In fact, you look at the word kingdom, it's a fascinating Greek word study, kingdom is the word basileon, which means the rule and the reign. Jesus says, my rule and reign, i.e., my kingdom is not of this world. My rule and reign, basileon, if you translate it in the Youngblood vernacular, is beyond this world. It's out of this world. It is eternal rule and reign.
Amen.
And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at the Bible, the scripture, we find that he is from eternity past to eternity future. How long is eternity? Eternity. It never ends. And Jesus preexisted before he came into Bethlehem. And a lot of people look at Christmas as worshiping that little infant baby in diapers, in rags, laying in a manger. And that's all right to look at the birth of Jesus in that sense. But we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worship the one that his rule and reign, his basileon, is not of this world. But as we put it, his rule and reign is out of this world.
Amen.
And just
Amen.
As you said so eloquently, it is exactly right. I am thankful today that we worship Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We praise him for his birth. We praise him for his coming. We praise him for his death on the cross for our sins, because that's what Christmas is all about, the celebration of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tom, thank you so much, brother, for your call. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh.
Pastor Davis, what would you add to that? Yeah, let me say right there, he's not a baby anymore.
That's right.
We're not worshiping the baby.
That's right.
You know, the manger scene.
That's right.
We're worshiping a risen Savior.
Yes.
On today. Now, we do want to commemorate his birth.
That's right.
We want to remember that. But now, let's make sure we know and understand, ever since the beginning of the first century church, mm-hmm. Dr. Youngblood, there's always been heresies and heretics that were going around stirring up controversy about who Jesus were, whether he died, whether he rose from the grave, whether he was the Son of God. This is, and just like the Bible has already stated in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun.
That's right.
So we are facing these things on today. What you have read from the Quran and what you just said or from the chart about the different things that other religions in the world believe about Jesus Christ, we need to know and understand, as long as we are living, we're going to always face these things.
That's right.
But for you as the Christian, your belief must be as solid as Peter's confession.
That's right.
If you're not standing on what you believe about Jesus Christ, then your religion is vain.
Right.
You must know and understand that. So for every Christian, it's important to have that same stance. And when we look at how many people died, Dr. Youngblood, down through the years, starting with the apostles, every one of them were martyred except for John.
That's right.
And then when you look at other Christians down through the years that have died upon that solid confession about who Jesus is,
right,
we must know and understand we need to take a very serious stance about that.
Yes, we cannot do it glibly, hypothetically. We must have the understanding with a firm grip on who Jesus Christ
Amen.
Is. So, ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, that's what we're advocating today, is that we understand biblically, theologically, doctrinally, exactly who Jesus Christ is, and not just take some philosophical rhetoric, not look at some denominational dogma, but listen at it, look at it on the basis of what does the Bible say. By the way, that's just a side thought came to my mind, Pastor. I'm always an advocate. I'm a central Biblicist. Somebody said a number of years ago, what does it mean, a central Biblicist? I said, I don't care what Origen said or Augustine said or John Calvin said or what other philosophers say. I just simply believe what the Scripture says, nothing
Amen.
More, nothing less. It
Amen.
Is a central Biblicist standpoint that we ought to take, and that's what the Word of God says. That's what we're trying to emphasize today. We ask the question, who is Jesus? And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ didn't just come into the world at Bethlehem. He preexisted. In fact, according to Micah 5:2, the Scripture says, who's going forth have been from old, from everlasting, that is, from eternity past. It is something that is absolutely eternally past that Jesus Christ existed. Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is called the everlasting Father, that is, the Father of eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the top of the hour news.
Amen.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.